Ha'azino, we have what's called the Shira. Shiras, it's called Shiras Ha'azino, the song, the poem, the song of Ha'azino. And it's actually referred to as a Shira in the Torah itself. The Torah tells us that Moshe is commanded by Hashem to write down this song and to write it in the Torah scroll. It becomes the last of the 613 mitzvahs, last week's Parsha. So this week's Parsha, Shira, is considered to be the reason for writing the whole Torah. That's what we read last week. The reason for writing the entire Torah is so that we should be able to have this week's Parsha, Parshas Ha'azino. There is a beautiful story in the Gemara. The Gemara tells the following story. Rebbe, who is the author, the editor, rather, of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, lived 2nd century, says, had a friend whose name was Antoninus. Antoninus was the Roman-appointed governor of Israel at the time. Rome was in charge of Israel. This is before destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple. And the Jews were living in Israel. But Rome had political power over Israel. Rebbe and Antoninus were very close friends. The Gemara says they were actually raised together as children. They grew up, and Rebbe was the leader of the Jewish people, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and Antoninus was the governor of Israel. So the political representative of Rome at that time was very close with the leader of the Jews. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a very, very big tzaddik. Gemara talks about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, unbelievable stuff. Even after he passed away, he would still come home for a number of years and make kiddush for his family. Oh, unbelievable stuff about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the editor of the Mishnah, who is known just plain by the title Rebbe. So the Gemara says that records one of the conversations with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, and Antoninus. And the Gemara says as follows: Antoninus once asked Rebbe, how come when a person passes away, and he was a very deep thinker, Antoninus, when a person passes away, he asks, the neshama comes upstairs to heaven, gets in front of the heavenly court, and the neshama could excuse itself, and it could say, Hashem, it's not my fault. It is the fault of the body. The body is the one that allowed me to go into different places, and don't punish me. And then he says, the body can appear separately before Hashem. Hashem wants to punish the body. And the body can say, Hashem, I'm without a neshama, I'm nothing. Without a soul, I'm nothing. I'm just a piece of dead dust. So it's not my fault. It's the neshama's fault. So in a case where a person, he says, would come before me, and I would be judging them, and each person couldn't do it, and I couldn't punish either one. So how come everybody should be able to claim that it's not their fault? The neshama could claim it's the body's fault. The body should claim it's the neshama's fault. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi answered, you know what? You're right. Hashem will take the body and the soul, put it together, and judge us both together. And he said, there is a mashal, a parable, from a person who, a king who had a field, an orchard. And the king appointed two watchmen to go to take care of his orchard. One of the watchmen happened to have been blind. The other of the watchmen happened to have been lame. He couldn't run, couldn't walk. So king comes and he discovers that somebody has been eating his fruit. And he goes to the watchman and he says, who is eating the fruit? Now, of course, who was eating the fruit was these guys. Because what happened was the lame guy told the blind guy, put me on your back. I'll tell you where to walk and we'll both take fruit from the tree. And both together, they were stealing the king's fruit. The king realized what was happening. But when it came to judge them, each one said to the king, how could I do it? I'm blind. The other guy says, how can I do it? I can hardly walk, let alone climb on top of a tree. So the king realized what was happening. He took the blind guy and he took the lame guy, he put him on top of the blind guy, and he had them whipped both together. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said to Antoninus to answer to his question. So at the beginning of this week's Parsha, what does that have to do with this week's Parsha? The beginning of this week's Parsha, the Parsha opens up, this poem, this song opens up with the words, Ha'azinu hashamayim va'adabera. Listen, heaven, Moshe says, and I will speak. V'tishma ha'aretz imrefi, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. That's how it opens up. And the parsha is essentially a rebuke and a promise. It's a promise if we would keep the mitzvahs. It's a rebuke if we don't keep the mitzvahs. Amazing promises of wonderful things, and also unfortunate promises of doom and gloom and punishment if we don't keep the Torah. But it ends on a high note, and it does end on a very positive note. And this is supposed to be a testimony. The Torah says a testimony for us Jews that we should recognize and realize that blessing comes from Hashem in two ways. Sometimes blessing comes as a punishment, and that's intended to correct our course of action. Sometimes blessing comes as a direct blessing if we're doing the right thing. Sometimes the punishment that comes to us is not necessarily intended to punish us for something that we're doing, but rather to make us sharper and to make us even better. Just like an athlete would be working out and would be doing stuff that in pain and pain and pain and pain. Well, the athlete didn't do anything wrong, but without the pain, you can't move to the next level. So sometimes that's the way it is. And therefore, even the rebuke part of this week's parsha is called a shira, because obviously the obvious question that the Mefarshim, the commentaries ask is, why would this be considered to be a shira, if part of it a song, if part of it is a rebuke? And the answer is, because that's the way we Jews view rebuke also. But not getting too much hung up on the rebuke part, I want to talk a little bit about the concept of Ha'azinu HaShamayim, listen, heaven. Rashi tells us that the word Ha'azinu means listen when you're close, somebody who is closer to you. Hazino means to listen. It also, even in modern Hebrew, it means to pay more attention. You could hear something, or you can actually take it in and pay attention to it, not just hear it in passing. So Ha'azino Hashamayim means let the heavens listen to me. We're close to the heavens. V'sishma aretz imrefi, let the earth listen from the distance. And Rashi says, why is Moshe using the word listen heavens from the close, that Moshe was closer to the heavens? Moshe was closer to Shemayim, to heaven. Moshe was more spiritual. Betishma aretz imrefi, Rashi says, Moshe used the word for listen when it comes to aretz, earth. He was farther from materialistic things. So keeping in mind these various concepts, that the Parsha begins with an exhortation, with a statement, listen heavens, listen earth, and we make a differentiation between Shamayim and Eretz, that we are closer to the heaven, we are farther from the earth. This is something that Moshe used in his language, but of course, we're all students of Moshe. Moshe lifts us up. Moshe enables us to reach levels. That's why Moshe is our teacher. A good teacher lifts up. Moshe is our ultimate teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher. He lifts us up. He enables us to reach the levels. The language of the Zohar, he is the Raya Mehemna. He is the shepherd of faith, the shepherd who gives us emunah, faith in Hashem, the shepherd who enables the Jew to reach deep inside each and every one of us and to reach our fullest of potentials. So let's talk about that. There is a beautiful commentary called Paneach Raza. And the Paneach Raza, one of the early commentaries, 800 years ago or so, says that Shamayim and Eretz here is not just heaven and earth. It also should be understood allegorically as Shamayim is soul, Eretz is body. And what Moshe is telling us is Hazino HaShamayim, the soul should listen. Listen, neshama. And if our neshamas listen, then our bodies will follow suit. So the fact is, of course, as the story of Rebbe and Antoninos, it is possible for the body and the soul to get together and to steal apples, to steal oranges. The body and the soul can get together and plot and scheme and do things that the king doesn't want. But when the body and the soul are listening, then the soul, especially in this case, the Paneach Raza tells us what comes first is the Shamayim, the soul. If the beginning is the neshama, then in other words, the body follows the soul and the soul sets the tone. In other words, our life is directed not by materialistic pursuits, but everything we do materially is directed by our spiritual side of us. Why do we want to do this? Why do we need to be physical? We are physical. And we need all kinds of physical blessings, and we ask for physical blessings in the Shemona Esrei and in our davening, we need it absolutely. Matter of fact, this goes back to Yaakov, our great ancestor Yaakov, our forefather Yaakov. Yaakov says to Hashem, "V'nasan li lechem leechol, give me bread to eat, ubeged lilbosh, and clothing to wear." And I'll return in peace. Give me peace. I'll return in peace to my father's house when he was running away from his brother Esav to Laban. And then he says, Hashem will be my God. Then I'll be able to have spiritual. If you don't give me material, I can't have spiritual. And that's the way Yaakov's prayer, and the order that Yaakov said, is the way that we also view the world. We view that we need the physical, we need the materialistic blessings. But in order that we should be spiritual, so as long as we recognize and realize that the neshama shamayim comes first, and the reason that we're asking for material stuff is in order to be yet more spiritual, I call this the Rumpelstiltskin theory, Rumpelstiltskin syndrome. We take straw and we spin it into gold. That's why we're asking for straw, not because we want to have a house full of straw, but because we want to have more gold, more mitzvahs, more Torah, more energy, more ability to not only serve Hashem, but do good for our people around us and so on, people who don't have, and take care of our families and lead them in the way of Torah and so on, in peace of mind. So this is the beginning of the Parsha. Paneach Reza says, Hazinu hashamayim v'adabera, listen, heaven, neshama, shamayim refers to the neshama, the soul. If the soul is listening, and in fact we're closer to soul initially, unless we do things to push ourselves away. The way we're created, we believe that we are neshama, shnasat to be the neshama that Hashem gave us. Tahora, he is pure. The neshama, in fact, rules until, that's why kids are so pure, because the kids are recognized from a young age. We all recognize the right way that we all recognize the truth of the beauty of spirituality, the beauty of being nice and being good and being kind. It's only as we grow older and we start doing stuff that is not 100%, then we become more corrupt and more taking care of ourselves and more self-centered. But naturally, we are neshamas, so we are more closer to neshama. So let's talk about this time of year. This Shabbos, Parshas Ha'azinu, is not just the Parsha that we read, Parshas Ha'azinu, but it's also called Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos of returning. And it's also called Shabbos Teshuvah, the Shabbos of repentance, the Shabbos of Teshuvah. And the reason it's called Shabbos Shuvah is because the Haftorah begins with the words Shuvah Yisrael, return Jews, Ad Hashem Elokecha to Hashem. And the Shabbos itself finds itself, we are now in the middle of what's known as Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance, the 10 days of Teshuvah, which begin with Rosh Hashanah and with Yom Kippur. And this Shabbos, which is the Shabbos in the middle of those 10 days, for that reason, is called Shabbos Teshuvah, the Shabbos of repentance. So the question, obvious question is, what is so special about the day of Shabbos that it's called Shabbos of Tshuva? What, Sunday is called Sunday of Tshuva, and Monday is not called Monday of Tshuva, and Tuesday of Tshuva. It's all Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's all one catch-all, 10 days of Tshuva. The Shabbos is elevated, and the Shabbos is called Shabbos Teshuva, the Shabbos of Tshuva. So this is a thought from the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains to us that there is a difference between the Teshuva of the rest of the year and the Tshuva of Shabbos Tshuva. Shabbos Shuvah or Teshuvah, this Shabbos. The Teshuvah of the rest of the year comes from an understanding that we need to go higher. In other words, a person does Teshuvah. What is the word Teshuvah? We studied in Tanya, we studied in the third part of Tanya, yet more. The concept of Teshuvah means that the neshama returns to its soul, to its source. The soul returns to its source. It means that the neshama, which is finding itself, of course, in physical atmosphere, the neshama is disconnected in many ways from any kind of spiritual feeling. If we don't study and if we don't think about it, we're like everybody else. We go about our day. We wake up in the morning. We take our coffee. We go this. We do that. By the end of the day, if you don't, unless you set aside time for saying some tehillim, for davening, for doing a mitzvah, for thinking about it, you can go through your whole day, your whole week, your whole year, and you're automatic mode. We're just as materialistic as our cats and our dogs and our pets. So what's the difference between the humans and the animals? Unless we think about it, there's no difference. Obviously, humans are still doing many mitzvahs just by existing and so on. But unless we elevate ourselves, unless we work on ourselves, we don't really have the ability to feel spirituality. We got to have the holidays, and that's what Shabbos in general is for. That's what holidays are for, to lift us up a little bit out of our materialistic state of mind. Therefore, come Shabbos. And Shabbos is a gift that Hashem gives us from above. So during the week, and this is what the year in general is considered, analogous, is similar to the weekdays in general. During the week, we're running around like chickens without a head. We're running and we're in a rat race. We're gerbils in a cage. We're running, 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 running. Unless we do stuff on our own, we're not feeling. We don't feel the spirituality. We don't feel the energy. Come Shabbos, Shabbos elevates us just because if you celebrate Shabbos, you sit back and celebrate Shabbos, you don't open your mouth and you sit quiet a whole Shabbos, which of course is not the thing to do anyway. But Shabbos immediately comes in, you feel a sense of calm, a sense of peace. Immediately you're elevated. So in that sense, the Shabbos is a gift from above that lifts the Jew up, that takes the individual up and lifts up from your ordinary status, your ordinary state, and all of a sudden you're a different individual, you're a different entity, you're not the same physical person you were. Now you're spiritual, now you're thinking about spiritual stuff, now you're thinking about bigger picture, bigger ideas. Thinking about creation, you're thinking about Hashem, you're thinking about your family units, not only about yourself. It's an elevation in and of itself. In the language of Kabbalah, this, how does this play into the language of Kabbalah, the language of Chassidus and Kabbalah? The 10-day, the rest of the year, the Teshuvah comes from the assembling, the joining, the elevation, the fixing up of the 10 sefirot, of the 10 levels that are inside each and every one of us. As we studied in Tanya, each and every was is made up, every neshama has 10 levels and 10 sefirot and so on. So the process of tshuva, the process of coming closer to spirituality during the year, involves a concerted effort, a directed effort, a mindfulness of elevation and working on ourselves and studying and saying tehillim and doing mitzvahs and being proactive. On Shabbos, the way to understand this Kabbalistically is we have what's called Yechida Shebenefesh, the Echad, the one, the singularity of our neshama shines. So it's different if you want to clean out a room, let's say, that's full of dust. You can take a broom, you can start cleaning out and sweeping and sweeping and sweeping, and the room becomes clean at the end. A lot of effort, a lot of energy. The broom, however, is dirty. You get a little dusty, and no matter how good of a job you're doing. But what happens if somebody from above opens up the ceiling and all of a sudden blows a huge, energy, a huge blow, a huge, huge amount of quantity of air, and just blows out all that dust? You take a blower, or somebody else takes a blower. You're not dealing with the individual specks of dust. You're not dealing with you don't get dirty. There's no broom involved. Everything just blows away somewhere else. You're clean, the room is clean, everything is amazing. That's what happens on Shabbos in general. In Shabbos in general, Hashem opens up the heavens. That's what we say, Vayechulu HaShemayim. The heavens are complete. Vayechulu HaShemayim literally means, when you say this in the Kiddush on Shabbos, Vayechulu Hashemayim, the heavens were finished. The heavens were complete. Hashem opens up the heavens and Hashem pours energy on us. And that elevates us. That lifts us up. That this idea of Shabbos lifting us up in general, every Shabbos of the year, is yet more pronounced on this Shabbos, which is Shabbos Teshuvah. Because this Shabbos is in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when Hashem is lifting us up anyway. The Gemara tells us that when is Hashem close? The Gemara asks a question. There's a pasuk, there's a verse that says, call upon Hashem, dirshu Hashem b'yimotzo, search Hashem when he can be found, kra'u b'yosakar, call him when he's close. The Gemara says, when can Hashem be found? When is he close? And when? What is this talking about? The Gemara says, these are the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hashem is extra close to us. In other words, this concept of Hashem showering us with energy is true every moment of every day. We don't feel, what do you mean Hashem is close? Hashem is everywhere, every moment of every day. So what does it mean Hashem is extra close? The answer is, we have the ability, if we only desire, to feel it. That's what it means Hashem is close. Hashem is close to us every minute of every day. But during these 10 days, we have a heightened sense of sensitivity. We have a heightened sense of ability to recognize this closeness and therefore have it affect us. Obviously, if you recognize, you feel something, you act differently. So even in your mind, just to think differently already is an amazing thing. You're not ready to act differently, but just to think, just to know already is an amazing thing. So therefore, this Shabbos, Shabbos Shuvah, Rebbe explains to us, is the Teshuvah of Yachid, the Teshuvah of Yechida, the Teshuvah of having our soul energies opened up for us by Hashem. And that's the ultimate reason, the ultimate meaning, and the ultimate beauty of the beginning of this parsha that opens up Ha'azinu Hashamayim. Listen, heavens. What is heaven? Heaven is the neshama. What is Ha'azinu? Ha'azinu is listening from up close, as opposed to Tishma Ha'aretz, which is earth, materialistic things, listen, but from a distance. Because on this Shabbos, we are in fact closer to heaven. We are in fact closer to spirituality. Even though we're still the same schlubs, we're still the same materialistic people. We haven't really changed. Let's get real. But our sensitivity is different. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Then it's up to us. Then it's up to each individual to just lift ourselves up a little bit of a notch and be a little bit more careful in some aspect. Shulchan Aruch writes, for example, that if people are not careful to eat bread, let's say, that's an example Shulchan Aruch gives, to eat bread that's only baked by a Jewish baker, which is, you're allowed to eat bread that's kosher bread baked by a non-Jewish baker. You're allowed to eat it during the rest of the year, but during these 10 days in Shulchan Aruch, it says you should be more careful in this practice. So you're not, there's a certain aspect of kashrus in general, keeping kosher in general, person is not careful. During these 10 days, be more careful, even though you may not be on the level that you can maybe keep it up even. Don't worry about it. Be more careful. Person's careful in Shabbos, some aspect of keeping Shabbos. Not ready to do the whole thing. Do something else in this Shabbos. Some additional something. If you're keeping Shabbos, then do some other beautiful thing. Read an extra chapter of Torah, Tillim. Do something that we each of us know that there's plenty of room for improvement in everything that we're doing. It's not difficult, fortunately or unfortunately, to figure out how we can be improving in our attitude and in our practice and in our interactions with other people. Because, of course, one of the big important stresses we all know before Yom Kippur is to ask forgiveness from our friends. We want to be not only good with Hashem. Obviously, Hashem wants us to be good, each and every one of us, with our fellow. So, therefore, this Shabbos has a lot of power. Parshas Ha'azinu, Shabbos Shira. It's called, again, Shabbos Teshuvah. It's a Shabbos that gives us the energy to be closer to Shamayim, closer to heavens. It's a Shabbos that gives us the energy to have Yechida Shebenefesh, the Echad, which is what happens on Yom Kippur. And therefore, just to wrap it up, this Shabbos is a preparation, of course. Obviously, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, we all know that every Shabbos blesses the days that are coming up, especially the first 3 days of the week are blessed by the previous Shabbos. The last days of the week are blessed by the coming Shabbos. So that's what happens. Shabbos is sort of in the middle. Not only does Shabbos conclude, every Shabbos concludes a week, but it also blesses the first three and the last and the next three. That's the way it works. That's the way the day works. The Shabbos works. So therefore, this Shabbos obviously blesses Yom Kippur and prepares for Yom Kippur. What does it mean, bless? It means gives energy for the amazing day of Yom Kippur, the singular day of Yom Kippur. It's called Echad Bashana Yom Kippur. So therefore, this Shabbos gives us the ability to recognize that, in fact, all the Mishigas in our life is exactly that. It's just Mishigas, just craziness. It's just distraction. It's white noise. It's not black noise. It's important. It's white noise. But it is noise. And what are we really? We are really neshamas. We're really souls. And therefore, what are we really? We're really connected all the time. Even if we feel disconnected, even if we feel discouraged, even if we feel dispirited, it's only the Yetzirah making us feel that way. In fact, we are always connected. In fact, we always have this aspect of neshama, that's our true self. We are shamayim. We are heavenly creatures. We're not aretz. We're not materialistic, even though we think we're materialistic. We're not. We are spiritual. And the day of Shabbat Shuva is intended and in fact gives us the ability not only to feel it, but also to enact, also to use that energy and to help us it be in concrete ways to be a little bit elevated, a little bit higher, at least on this Shabbos. So I wish you a good Shabbos and a wonderful Shabbat Shuva. And a wonderful Yom Kippur coming up. Yom Kippur, as we just mentioned, of course, is Echad B'Shana, the day that we are neshamas. That's why we don't eat and drink. Not only because we're supposed to afflict ourselves, we don't need to. A neshama doesn't need to eat and drink. So therefore, we are neshamas, we are souls. We are spiritual, our angels. This is, so a Gemar Chasima Tova. Gemar Chasima Tova means a final sealing for the good. We should be blessed with each and every one of us, with a Shana Tova Masukah, good and a sweet year, with good health. And today we're especially studying for the health of a number of people that you saw in the chat, each and every one of those names, and everybody else, Sha'ar Choli Yisrael, that means every other person who needs a refuah. There's plenty of energy to go around, and we should all have refuah shlema. Anybody needs a refuah, we should have parnasa barachava, lots and lots of good livelihood. And that's, as I mentioned before, that's a very Jewish thing to pray for. People think that God gives health, but he doesn't give money. No such thing. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem gives money too. And money is prayed for on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur very, very specifically. So Hashem should give us lots of wealth, lots of health. Matter of fact, when we open up the Siddur, you take a look, one of the prayers that we say, when we open up the Sefer, the Aron Kodesh, we open up the Ark, the Holy Aron Kodesh, the Ark with the Torah, and we're about to read from the Torah, there is a prayer that we say, and actually two prayers. We always say, we always read from the Zohar, a section called Brich Shmei, but on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and on other holidays, the major holidays, there is another prayer that we say. And in that prayer, not only do we ask for Osher, for wealth, and we also ask for kavod, we ask for respect, we want to be for honor. Interesting, very interesting. We're asking not only for wealth, but we're asking for honor, we're asking for all kinds of materialistic blessings, because, as we mentioned, there is no such thing as a disconnect in Judaism between material and physical and spiritual, rather, as long as we recognize and realize that the spiritual is the driver, and also the end goal, then the physical simply becomes a tool, a mechanism to become yet more spiritual. So, good Yontif, good Shabbos, and good Yontif for coming up for Yom Kippur, and a Gemar Chasima Tova. All the best, everybody.